the weirdest thing, but just knowing that she's now picking up her clothes from age 1 to 7 and no longer 0 to whatever 18 months was like a thing for me. And I remember feeling that loss of like, oh, she's no longer a baby, and oh, maybe she'll never, maybe we should have another baby, da, da, da. And I'm like, but having another baby is not just for that feeling, you know what I mean? There's so much more to it than that.
Hey, welcome to the Whole Mama Show. I'm your host, Aisha O'Reilly, and we're revealing the untold stories of motherhood. So, when's baby number 2 coming? A lot of couples are asked this question, usually around 1.5 years after their first baby, so they can get that 2-year gap that's deemed to be the perfect age gap between their kids. But that isn't necessarily what every mother wants, if she wants another child at all. There are so many deliberations that need to take place before bringing a new member into a family. You're not the only mama who's not ready for another child. Lily and her husband have a 1.5-year-old daughter, and they're contemplating that she will be their only child. She shared her story of motherhood with me remotely. Hey, Lily, how are you doing?
I am good. My house was cleaned, but yes. I am very, very well. How are you?
That's good to know. Yeah, I'm also not too bad. Tracy, thanks so much for joining me on this episode.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be every mom blogger vlogger is like listening to it. I'm just like, it feels like the place to be. It's really cool. No, it's really cool. And I think you have a great way of just engaging with women on such a like a heart level. So I'm really happy to be on it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thanks. That means so much. So can you please share who you are, what you do, and who your family is?
Okay, cool. So I am Lily Million. I am an all-around creative. Yeah, if anyone who's come across me probably knows me as a musician first. I am also a director. I make like online videos. I have one child. She is a year and 7 months, and I'm married to Black. That's my husband. And we've been married for, I think we're going on 7 years next year, March.
Do you have any sort of projects or anything that you're currently working on that you wouldn't mind our support on?
Oh, I will never mind support. Support you, welcome there.
So, okay, so how can we support you in something that you're currently working on, Lily?
Two things. The first thing is I have an acoustic EP out. So like I said, I'm a musician. I write songs, I sing, I play guitar. And so I have an EP out called Redemption. So if you just look up Lily Million, it should come up there. It's like a gray moody cover with my afro out. And then I have a YouTube channel with, it's mainly my music, but recently, actually, maybe in July, I decided to start doing more YouTube-y videos, if that makes any sense. So I chat, and yeah, so if you can just subscribe there and if you can listen to the music, that'll be great.
Okay, so can you please share how you became a mom for the first time?
Oh, so my daughter was born on the 24th of March, 2018. And so we got married 2014. And in the beginning, like, kids was like, what? Are you insane? I mean, I was on the pill and everything. And I'll take a pregnancy test every month, making sure I wasn't pregnant. So kids was like very far down the line for us when we got married. Like, our thing was probably 4 to 5 years. We wanted to wait that long. Just wanted to like enjoy each other, you know, and just hang out. But I think in year three, year four, that's when I started having that feeling of, oh man, I think I really want a child. And, you know, a lot of people around me probably had their kids by then, and I had kind of seen that it's not this, I mean, it's scary, but it's not like going to kill you. Like you'll live, you figure it out. Cause I just found the whole thing of motherhood very intimidating. It felt like once you become a mom, you lose all your other identity. Like anything else that makes you who you are completely disappears. And I was so afraid of losing that. But I think those around me kind of just showed me that, no, you just find the balance. So year three or four, I was like, flip, I think we're ready. And it started with me. I was like to my husband that I think we should do this. And then we probably spoke about it for like a year. And then we started trying 2017. By God's grace, it was falling pregnant was pretty easy. It took about 5 months before we fell pregnant. So that was great. Had a great pregnancy. Yeah, we have our little person running around the house now. Yeah.
How was, let's say, like your first year or so of motherhood? How did that go?
Oh man, that was a shock to my system. I don't think there's anyone can actually warn you. I don't know that there's an amount of literature you can read, consume podcasts, you can listen to videos, you can watch to actually prepare you for the storm that is that first year of motherhood. And you know what? The thing is, my daughter was what you would call an easy baby. There was no colic or anything like that. Her personality and her, yeah, just how she is as a child is pretty easy. But then it's still a baby. You know what I mean? It's still, and you're dealing with the hormones and the feeling of life is continuing. People are going on holidays and you can't go. If I was having a breakdown and she's also having a breakdown, my breakdown has to pause. I have to deal with her. I think I realized it's just not about me anymore. Like, I could be having the worst day, and obviously my husband is he's very hands-on, but maybe for days when he wasn't around and I'm by myself, and it's like, sorry Lily, you may feel bad today, but there's a child who needs to be fed, so get up and you have to do it. And I think that was the hardest thing for me, just realizing that it's on you. If she's awake, it is on you. I guess also realizing that my decisions impact another person, like who is completely innocent, who's a completely innocent party.
Yeah,
I think that was huge for me, in the sense of being in the creative industry. I mean, it's ups, downs, it's all of that stuff. And if it's the two of us and it's like, oh flip, this month you didn't make that much, it's whatever, you know what I mean? Or like, oh, I have to travel here, I have to do this, it's of no real consequence. You know, I'll get it if my husband has to do that, he gets it if I have to do that. But now I'm like thinking about my child and her future and what does this mean for her? And that was one of the other bigger things that I sort of had to face, like just the realization that the decisions I make in my life will directly impact my child. It's one thing if my husband and I decide to take a financial risk to do something, or, there's a fluidity that we had when it was just the two of us. It's fine. You know, you're in the creative space, you try something, it doesn't work, you do this, you do that, you know, it's whatever. The responsibility of what it means to say, this is my child, I have to make sure she has the best life that I could possibly give her. Mm. And then what are those implications for me? I think the weight of that really, really sat on me. So that combined with just that first year of motherhood where everything is new, I'm scared all the time. You know what I mean? And also just realizing that I don't know what I'm doing. To a degree, yes, once I know that she's drinking 120 mils, that I know. But then if she swallows a piece of paper, like, what do you go to the, do you call an ambulance? Do you wait for something to happen? Like, you know, all of that stuff. Mm. It was hectic. It took me a long time to feel like myself again. I felt slightly outside of myself. And I think probably only after she turned one did I kind of, it's so hard to explain, but I almost felt like I snapped back into myself. So just like mentally, emotionally, I just felt a whole lot more stable. I didn't expect to feel that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, as you're talking, I totally understand what you're saying. And I'm sure a lot of other moms listening can completely relate to that. Personally, I haven't met one mom so far who has said that, you know, okay, maybe I've, now I'm thinking like maybe one, but the majority of us, you know, we all go through some weird, almost like what I call a metamorphosis, you know, that it's since pregnancy almost, you know, if it didn't get you in pregnancy, it's going to get you after birth. And you just don't feel like yourself, whether it's, you know, you feel like a better version of yourself, or it's just different. It's different. And trying to consolidate, like for me, I completely get you. And for me, it was even longer than a year. When I tell people this who aren't moms, they're just like, what? I'm like, yeah, it was about like a year and a half. I'd say, you know, that I didn't feel like myself. I was going through the most, you know, and it was only like almost when he was around 2 years old, I started feeling a bit like, okay, you know, I'm a different Aisha, but I'm Aisha again. Yeah. I'm not this sort of wandering kind of outer body experience kind of person, you know, whatever that was, just sort of on autopilot all the time. No, I totally get you. And I could totally relate to that. Can you share what you're thinking about adding another child right now to your life?
Sure. And I mean, anyone who's a mom will know that around this time where people kind of start asking you, so when's the next one?
Exactly.
I feel like people ask you, I actually feel like people ask you when the next one is as you're pushing out the first one. Because it's just like, can I just breathe? But, you know, I think there is a lot of apprehension. It's looking like we might not actually have another one. I just didn't realize how hectic it would be. Because I feel like maybe back in the day, like our parents, having children was kind of a default setting. You get married, you have kids.
Yeah.
And you just keep having them until you're done having them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think maybe for our generation, I guess it's different. I guess also depending on where you are in terms of your subculture. But, you know, me being suburban, middle class, there's so many factors at play. And I just didn't realize how much having a child would affect that, you know. And I was never that person who was, you know, 19 years old saying that, oh, when I grow up, I want to have 5 children. You know, I wasn't even sure I even wanted to have children. I kind of hoped that eventually the desire would come, but I was okay with not having them. And so when we got married and find the desire did come and, you know, all of that stuff, I was like, okay, cool, great. So I'm already sort of coming from a place where I wasn't sure about this whole motherhood gig to begin with.
Mm.
And so now I'm like, the idea of having a second one is just, it's not as straightforward as I thought it would be, you know, where I'm obviously thinking, I think the first thing you think about is finances, because you want the best for your child. You want to be able to plan for their future. And I'm like, adding another child, that's double everything. You know what I mean? Like, is that doable? Can we actually do that? Do we think that we'll be able to give him or her options? You know what I mean? Because that's my thing, that I'm like, you don't have to send your child to the school that's worth $100,000. But if you have the option to, great. For me, it's just that thing of like, I just want options. Or career-wise, like, I'm kind of at a place where I'm kind of starting something new and I can't be falling pregnant. I just don't think it's realistic. And then I think to myself, okay, I'm 31. Then if I wait 4 or 5 years, do I want to be having a baby at 36? I'm already feeling tired. And it's not like this, oh, I'm tired, I'm so old. It's just when you're 22, it's easy to stay up all night. You know what I mean? Yeah. Voluntarily.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the older you get, the more your time is, you know, taken up by work, and then you have kids and it's family and it's this. And I'm kind of sort of more aware of my energy levels and all of that stuff. And then also just emotionally, like emotional capacity, like mentally, my mental health, like marriage, like what would the implications be? And I think as it stands, it's like I don't know that we're going to actually do this. So it was the kind of thing I spoke to my husband and we were like, you know what, maybe let's just have this conversation again in like 3 years and we'll see where we are. But, you know, it's a thing where I'm kind of like, I'm fine with just one, hey? And then I kind of think to myself, yeah, it would be nice if my child had a sibling, you know, because you see kids playing together. But that's not all having a second child is made of, you know, just as Instagram pictures are not all that having a baby is made of. There's a lot of apprehension. There's a lot of, it's probably leaning more towards, I don't think that this will happen. It's not a door that's completely closed. I think there was a time where I was like, nope, not going to happen. But I think I was coming sort of more from the shock of becoming a mom and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Versus now, it's just when I'm just sort of thinking about it soberly, like, what are the actual implications? Could I bear that? And then I kind of feel, am I being selfish? It's a lot.
I'm so glad that, you know, we're having this conversation, because it's something that, you know, and this is why I was just like, okay, Lily, you need to share this, because I totally agree with you. Exactly how you were saying about, you know, our parents' generation and the generations before them, you get married, you have kids. That's the whole reason why we are here, you know?
Yeah.
We are to procreate, and that is it. And in order to procreate, we must be married. You know, that's kind of like the narrative that everybody followed. Whereas our generation, it's like exactly that. We're more exposed to other cultures, to other beliefs, to other lifestyles. There's just so many possible ways that you can live your life now. It's not just get a job, get married, have kids. And so that's why I just find this whole thing of, you know, exactly what you were saying, that Zaya is now 1 year and 7 months. That's usually the time that a lot of people or families would probably start thinking about adding to their families, or it just happened. When Kai was around 1.5 years old, mind you, remember, I wasn't quite myself yet. People were like, okay, so when's baby number 2 coming? I'm like, guys, I am just recovering. So
hold on, just wait.
Yeah, just chill. Like, I am in no rush. My husband is definitely definitely not in a rush either. Mm. And we had a very similar set of conversations, Kev and I. It's really, I think it's great that you and Black have had this conversation and that you are both able to be honest about it, being able to give your, both of your, you know, input and everything, because it affects everything. And now that you know what you are, you know, considering here from a realistic point of view, you're able to make an informed decision.
Because it's like, you know, people, you talk about being broody and you see cute little newborn things. I mean, I remember going to the shops once and I didn't realize that because of the age of my daughter, her clothes are no longer in the baby section, they're in the kids section. It was so random, but I had a moment of like sadness of like, oh, flip, I'm no longer in the baby section, I'm in the kids section. The weirdest thing, but just knowing that she's now I'm picking up her clothes from age 1 to 7. And no longer 0 to whatever 18 months was like a thing for me. And I remember feeling that loss of like, oh, she's no longer a baby. And oh, maybe we should have another baby. Da, da, da. And I'm like, but having another baby is not just for that feeling. You know what I mean? There's so much more to it than that. There's so many more implications than just that cute bundle that you, which is cute, which does smell great and all of that stuff, but there's so much more to it. Another kid is not just about going to go shop at 0 to 18 months again. It's a lifetime of commitment, you know, and are we ready for that? Do we really want to do that? Like for real, for real? For the other women in my community, it seemed so natural for them, you know, like just like, yeah, of course we're having a second kid. Of course, like, it's just like, and I'm like, is there something wrong with like, what? Like it just came out, just kind of go, go, go. And I'm just like hanging back like, I don't know. I don't know.
If I can say anything about that, you're definitely not like weird or selfish or whatever words we throw at ourselves and society kind of throws at us, you know, when we're contemplating motherhood to begin with and then contemplating having more children. You know, I mean, there's judgment and there's side-eyeing whatever we decide. Oh, yeah. And so, you know, as we were talking just now when you were saying that whole 0 to 24 months kind of thing, I think that's where they get us. I really do. Because I'm telling you, that's where they get us. Because it is that feeling, that moment that you described, I think go through that moment of sadness. And it can happen whether it's, you know, when you're shopping for the for the kids clothes, rather, you're no longer shopping in the or it's when your kid, like I had it so many times with Kai when he went to school, I was like, oh my god, he's no longer a baby, you know. He turned 2 when he started, I don't know, putting together certain sentences. You know, like all of those little milestones are little triggers, I feel, that kind of tell you, hey, you need, you know, another little human to take care of because the first human that you made is growing up and he no longer needs you so much. So that's how they get you.
Oh, man.
So it's all to, you know, make you want another little person again, you know? So it's a scam. That's how they hook you and they reel you in. That's how it is. That's how it is. So I completely understand where you're coming from. And I think, like I was saying before, it's something that I think many couples are not having. These discussions, it is that go, go, go. Okay, we have a kid. Okay, now we have another kid within the 2-year gap. Mm. Let's do this. Let's make sure that our kids go up together. Let's make sure this
together,
is.
Yeah.
But not necessarily looking at, okay, we've survived the storm of first parenthood. Can we do it again?
Like, people's marriages fall apart. Like, things happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, people fall into depressions, you know, careers go stagnant.
Oh, that's so deep. About marriages, you know, fall apart, careers grow stagnant, people fall into depressions. Mm. Like, these are all very real and very common aftermath of having a child.
Yeah.
And this is a huge reason why I am so open about my journey in motherhood, why I've put together this podcast, why I enjoy these conversations so much, is because these are the things that we have not been told. the media still doesn't mm-hmm. really portray. I mean, nobody talks about how much your marriage is going to get affected by having children.
Yes.
It's not there. You know, it's exactly what you were saying, you know, with the generations before us. It's like, no, but you get married so you have children. But our generation is like, but okay, not everybody necessarily, but I can definitely speak for myself. Where it's like, yeah, but I want, and you just mentioned it as well in the beginning of the conversation, that you wanted to enjoy your husband. You wanted to enjoy your marriage before adding to your family. And that's a very real want and a very real desire, and it's valid. And bringing a third person in, albeit it's your child, the fact is your attention, everything, your attention, your time, your money, everything is diverted to that child. So you don't have that connection with each other anymore. This whole thing of some people still live in la la land and think that having a child will fix their relationship. And it's like, but it's not, because it's not as simple as that. All of a sudden, you start seeing a different side to this, you know, person. You know, you need to also give him space to become a dad, because that's also a huge, huge shock on his system. You're trying to figure yourself out as a mom. Now you're figuring, it's a lot.
And then as a woman, just like as a woman, like I had a huge struggle with that, where I just felt like I had just lost. I just didn't know who I was as Lily. Like, I kind of just felt like I was just lost in the, like you said, that autopilot of what's next. What's the next meal? Oh, we need this change. Oh, she's dirty. Oh, we need this. And then it's work. And that's kind of like, but what, like, I feel like I just felt like I was just somewhere in the haze of all of that. So, oh no, it's a lot, you know, so.
What's your support system looks like? You know, who's able to kind of step in when you or Black aren't able to do certain things or to just give you a break or whatever it is? Like, are you living separately, like far away from your family, or what's the situation there?
So no, we don't live far from each other. We only currently, Black's mom and his two younger sisters have moved closer. So they're like less than 5 kilometers from where we live now. And then my older sister, she's also within the same area, like 3 km away. So both grandmothers work full time. They wouldn't have had the time to just kind of take off work and just be here, as well as space in our house. We have a 2-bedroom and the 1 room we use as an office/studio. And so where would Granny even sleep, even if, you know, she was staying over? You know, so it wasn't even a conversation that was brought up. They both have full-time work. It's not that kind of thing where, you know, they're just kind of around. But I mean, everyone is very involved in the sense of needing babysitting, needing help, needing. So maybe like I'll think of, okay, my sister's nearby. Zaya slept over a lot at her place once she moved close to us. So she's pretty like comfortable. You know, if I know she's had a hard week, you know, I don't want to ask for like a stay over. And then I know my mom, she's kind of like, oh, okay, she'll hang out during the day. But then at night, she's like, okay, go home now. So I'm like, I know that I can't be like, you know, let's do the stay over thing. And so it's a thing where you kind of have to consider all of that. I think it's easier to get people to babysit one child, but two, especially if it's like a baby and then another toddler. Like, I think I'll never just assume people are ready and available, because I know like these are women who live their own lives. You know, they go on holidays and do things or whatever. So there is support, but at the same time, it's not the kind of thing where it's a default setting that, oh, I can just rock up unannounced and say, here's the baby, I'm going for a weekend. For me, because it almost feels like when I say, like to other moms specifically, I've never really had a reaction from other dads, or it's mainly women, that when they ask, oh, you're gonna have another one, and I go, probably not. And it's like this, like it's almost like I rejected a living child. Like, there was a child that was here and then I said no thank you, you know. And I'm like, and it feels like, are we not allowed to choose like what we feel is comfortable? Like, it's almost as if there's a living child and I said no thanks, I want my bedroom, I don't want this, you know. And it feels like that kind of reaction. I'm like, can it be okay that I'm like, I can finally go on date nights with my husband and like not I'm like, can it be okay that we have that? Because also, again, like you said, it's the knock on you as a woman, as a mom, all of that stuff, and it's a knock on your marriage and what that looks like. Suddenly time isn't this thing that's readily available, you know what I mean? Like, oh, we didn't have hang out this morning, we'll hang out later. Suddenly it's like you can go 2-3 days and you haven't had a decent conversation because one's working, one's this, and plus now with lockdown it was even worse. I feel like most of them are never, they never receive it well. It's almost like a, there's like the neck jerk, and I'm like, okay, sorry that I don't want another kid yet.
the thing is I know exactly what reaction that is, because for me, it's the same reaction when women say, you know, I had an elective cesarean, or I didn't breastfeed my child, or
like, how could you?
Yeah, it's like they are deeply, deeply offended. And yeah. I have never understood that, because I'm just like, but it is my body. It is my choice. It is my child, and it is my life. So unless I am doing something that actually harms another person, then you cannot judge me in such a harsh way. I mean, you mentioned earlier that you're just like, you don't know if you're being selfish and stuff. I've never understood that phrase, you know, when women who are even, I have to use the word brave enough, who are brave enough to say, you know what, motherhood is not for me, I don't want to have kids. Yeah. And people respond and say, but you're being selfish. It's like, selfish to who?
Exactly. Like, it's so weird.
Who am I being selfish? I don't know if that's even a selfish to who or selfish from who. I don't know. With who?
I know what you mean. What? I get you. It's like, where's this? I don't understand. So even like with the whole saying, oh, give her a sibling. And I'm just like, there are people who grow up as only children. Like, I had a sister, right? I always wanted a brother, but it wouldn't happen. And it's fine. I don't lay in bed thinking about the brother that I never had. You know what I mean? And as parents, you do the best for your child. And I'm like, if a child grows up not having siblings, then that's their story. I'm an only child. And you know what I mean? Like, there's more than just that will make up who that child is. You know, are they loved? Are they cared for? All of that stuff. You know what I mean? And I'm like, it's almost this thing of like, you are taking something away from this child. I'm like, I can't take something away that they don't have. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, there are people who wish they didn't have siblings. They grew up in households and it was too wild. It was too many people. It was unfair, all of that stuff. So it's kind of like, yes, we make decisions with the information we have now, and you hope for the best. You know, maybe one day we do give her a sibling. Maybe we don't. And she says, hey, why didn't you have more kids? And we'll tell her why. And then that's that. You know what I mean? But the whole thing of like, and I think the feeling of feeling like I'm being selfish, it's because of the reactions that I do get. It's like, how can you do that? And I'm thinking, again, there's no living child that I'm rejecting. Like, this is, it's all conceptual at this point.
We're damned if we do, we're damned if we don't. There's just no winning. There's just no winning, whatever it is. So, but like, so, you know, these reactions that you've gotten from people, were any of them, has anyone in your family or your friends, have any of them reacted that way to you guys?
So my friends were very convinced that I would change my mind. Like I was just having a moment, you know, and like I said, maybe I will, you know, but they made it seem like, no, you're just having a moment. And then when I kind of explained, like, these are my reasons, they kind of got it, like, okay, flip, that's actually a lot to consider. Family. The thing is, it hasn't really been like a discussion, like a, you know, we sit down and what do they say? Kind of talked about it with my sister, and she gets it, because it's a thing where you want to afford your children the same opportunities you had, if not better, right? And that's kind of a lot of the legacy, you know, when it comes to our parents or whatever. So it's like, you don't want to sort of go backwards. So like, they get it. But like I said, it hasn't been like an in-depth conversation. But generally, we do get the, oh, so when's the next one coming? And you kind of just laugh it off, because sometimes I just don't want to talk about it. You know what I mean? I don't want to get into a whole thing with an auntie of why I'm not yet pregnant. I feel like generally with our families, there is a respect and there's an understanding for how, and by families, I mean like our immediate family. So the grandmothers and the aunts, so my sister and my husband's sisters and both our mothers. So I don't imagine there would be, even if there might be opinions that are shared, that it would be this kind of issue that would come up just because of how they were with the pregnancy. And when my daughter was born, they gave us a lot of space to just define what our family will look like. We just have to go in with both eyes open. Sometimes I wonder if the women in the generations before us had the option. You know what I mean? I was talking to a lady I take my daughter to a play group, and one of the teachers there was like, she never wanted kids. Like she did not want them. She got married, but she did not want them. But she was forced to have them. And so she did, you know, and she's like, there was no saying no. You know what I mean? Like, that's just something you didn't do. And like, I think two of her kids have like a 15-year gap or something, because she was just stalling, and then she ended up having a kid at like 45. But she's like, I was forced to have kids. And I kind of feel like in the generation I'm in the community I'm in the family I'm in, that kind of pressure isn't there. And I'm grateful for that. So we do have the choice. You know what I mean? Like, as a married woman, I'm not just like this machine that's just supposed to make babies. And I'm grateful that my husband doesn't see me that way, you know, or expect that. And that we're a team. And so it's like, I'm grateful that I can kind of just sit there and go, okay, what actually works? And I'm not going to sort of waste that, you know, by doing what is expected, even though it doesn't resonate with me.
Wow. Yeah, I love that. Oh, I mean, just from that story of the lady that you're talking about, and, you know, this whole time we were just saying that our parents' generations and the generations before, it was like, yeah, you get married, you have kids, that's what you do. But the fact that even some of them, like this lady, actually, she was just like, yeah, I actually don't want to. But
yeah,
exactly what you say, you have no choice. It's almost like,
yeah,
maybe that's where this sort of disapproval comes from, mm-hmm, when women, mm-hmm, say, I don't want children. Mm-hmm. It's like, but how have you even made that, mm-hmm, decision? You have no choice. Mm-hmm. And maybe the women before us, or even currently women who have that mentality of, I'm a woman and that's what I have to do. It is my responsibility to procreate, to have children. Yeah. Maybe that's where the selfish thing comes from, that you're being selfish to some man who, mm, maybe you haven't met yet.
This concept. And I think,
yeah,
just to jump on that, then that's what makes it so painful. Even for me to have this conversation, I was like, oh, I kept thinking about women who want to, but then can't, you know, and yes, it's like this thing that I then feel guilty. Not that anyone is making me feel that way, as in women who have struggled with fertility or whatever. It's not that anyone there has said anything to me, but I just empathize with them so deeply that it's a thing where I'm like, I hope that it doesn't come across as almost flaunting the fact that I can choose. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
But then just in what you said about this idea of, as women, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to have children. I think that's why it's been also so painful. Already infertility is painful, or miscarriage is painful. But then when you're dealing with the fact that as a woman, you're supposed to do this thing, I would imagine it makes it even more painful. And then, you know, you get women who feel like they aren't complete women at all. And it's just so complex. That's sort of working, it's like working at its way, like in my mind, where I'm like, okay, but really, you can't have babies on behalf of, you know, all the women who can't have babies. Like, that's also not a reason, right, to go and say, make a baby. But then, yeah, yeah. It's very weird. I know that sounds really weird, but then you think about that, like, as if I'm, again, harming somebody else in that way. It's very weird, but yeah.
It's almost like you have a gift.
Yes.
And
yes,
you're rejecting it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can totally understand that. Oof, we just go through the most, though, I think, you know, as women. I mean, there is this massive responsibility placed on us to continue the race and all of that, you know, the human race. Yeah. But because it is so big, we can't just take it lightly and just carry on and, yeah, and have kids. I'm just curious, you know, this lady that you were talking about who told you that she never wanted children, do you know what her, yeah, relationship is like with her kids?
I mean, she spoke about her son like in a very, like, she spoke highly of him, like she's proud of him. I would be, probably as time goes, because I've been going there for a few weeks, and every time we go, we chat. And as we've spoken, she's kind of opened up to me a bit more. So it would be interesting to find out whether she like loves them. I mean, I'm sure she loves them in the sense of she's out here working, you know, a remote job to provide for them, but just that kind of like connecting with them, what that was like when they were born, all of that stuff. It would be interesting to find that out.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking there's just so many different possible outcomes that could have happened with a situation like that, where you have a woman who doesn't want children, but because she's, you know, she got married, it's a thing to do, she didn't really have a choice, she ended up having her kids. And, you know, like you said, of course she loves them, but then, is it, of course? You know what I mean? Because we...
I do know what you mean.
We're human beings at the end of the day. You know, I think we take for granted this bond that, you know, we're supposed to have as a mother and child. That's not automatic for everybody.
No.
And even still, maybe it's not automatic. Like, for example, I did recently share that it took me a little while longer to bond with Kenzo, to have that sort of thing with him, you know? And it's like, yes, I loved him, you know, because he's my child and, you know, there's all of that. But there was a different kind of level of love that you can have it instantly. I had it instantly with Kai, but with Kenzo, it developed, you know? And with some women, I'm wondering, because we are so shamed, you know, for speaking our truth so often, I'm wondering if there are women out there who generally never had, like, they never reached that level of love with their kids, you know? So they might have maybe, like, taken care of them because they love them, because it's like, it's my child, who else is going to take care of them? You know, it's almost under an obligation in a way you know, I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to work this job and I'm going to whatever. Are they doing it wholeheartedly? Are they doing it with their entire being?
Like passionately, like from a feeling. I know what you mean.
And so that for me is the real almost underbelly of motherhood that, you know, really no one at all. I mean, I know we say no one talks about the marriage thing, but we can kind of talk about it. But as a mom, you can never, ever say that you don't love your children or that you never wanted them. I feel like the humanity of mothers is completely removed, and that, you know, that it's just, of course you love your child, of course you wanted your child, of course, but it's like, but she had dreams and she had, you know, she had a life that she had planned in her head. And although I agree that it's never right for a mother to take that out on her child, I can I can still understand it though, on a human level. Just from a human level, I can understand like the resentment and the complex feelings that she has to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I totally get you, because it's almost like if you become a mom, any negative emotion surrounding your child must completely die. Like you just don't have those kinds of feelings. You're just always this ball of fluff and joy and, you know, all of that stuff. And it's like finding the balance between pursuing my dreams, but not allowing them to take over, in that I'm willing to sacrifice the well-being of my child, and just sort of contending with what if it means I never get to do X, Y, and Z. And like just that reality, thinking to myself, adding a second child just will just compound that. If I never get to do whatever it is, then I would have to live with that. And like you said, not take it out on my child because I chose to have this child. So then it's a thing where then you have to be sure if you're going to have another one. You know what I mean? Because that could happen. That's like a real, real thing. And women mourn the fact that, you know, I was this big advocate and then I just became, you know, I had to let that go so that I could be the backbone of my family and the household and all of that stuff. And I'm like, those are real feelings. That's like a real, real thing. That it doesn't mean that the cute face completely takes away all those other desires. Surely that should be considered in the day and age we're in, where women have so many opportunities. There are implications, and we need to understand that. The more that women can, you know, have these amazing careers, then of course families will probably be smaller. That's only to be expected, because who do you think was at home raising the seven children, you know? And people just need to get that and be okay with that. Like, as a person, and I guess it's just human nature, we want the approval of other people. So in as much as, yes, I might say, oh no, ma'am, I don't think my mom would, you know, worry so much if I said you might not have another grandchild from me, that is, or whatever the case may be. I'm like, when someone does give me the side eye for not wanting, you know, another child, or really not being so sold on having another kid, I feel that, like, I do feel bad about it. Like, I feel like there's something wrong with me. I think that's why the conversation then has to be ongoing with my husband, so that I'm not falling into the trap of trying to not have the side eye. So let's make another baby. You know what I mean? Because it sounds ridiculous, but you end up doing things just because you don't want to be this weird person that people are looking at.
Sure. Well, Lily, what would you say is your whole mama truth?
Man, my whole mama truth is I don't have it figured out. Every day is new, and I'm okay with that. I'm finally okay with that. And I'm not trying to be the world's best mother. I'm trying to be Zaya's best mother. I'm trying to be the best mother I can be for my child. And I'm okay with other people not getting what I do if I know it works for her.
Mm. Thank you so much. This is such a great conversation. So,
I'm so glad.
Yeah, no, it was. So before you go, can you quickly share, where can we find you online?
Oh, I am on Instagram and Facebook, Lily Million, LILLY, million as in $1 million.
Okay. All right. Thanks cool. so much, Lily.
So Kevin and I had to go through the same discussions as Lily and her husband. The conversation we had when we first became parents was very different to the conversation we had about baby number two. The first one is very, you know, wouldn't it be nice, and it's airy and quite dreamy. But the second one was like, are we ready? Do we have the space? Can we afford it? People have asked me why I waited 4 years before having Kenzo, and it just wasn't as simple as, hey, let's have another baby. Now that I have two boys, people are already telling me that I should try for a girl. I feel that people need to stop imposing their ideas of a balanced family onto others. Can we get to a point where we can respect what people want as their families? Thanks for tuning in. If you're enjoying my podcast, I'd really appreciate your support to reach more women. You can do that by leaving a quick one-liner review, giving it a rating out of 5, subscribing, or sharing it on your social media. And to really help, you can, of course, do all 4 of those steps. As always, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube at Aisha and Life. That's AISHAANDLIFE. You can also find my honest journey in motherhood on my blog, aishaandlife.com. Again, I'm Aisha Riley, and I hope this episode has left you feeling a little bit more whole, mama.